Hello, I'm Mark DeLuzio. Over the past century, our constitutional republic, grounded in the rule of law, has been transformed into a tyrannical democracy, orchestrated by unelected bureaucrats and globalists. The Constitution is now treated as a suggestion, not the law of the land. Welcome to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God.
Hi, I'm Mark's co-host, Suzette Lawrence. Our intention is to explore the Constitution and discuss how our freedoms and constitutional rights are violated by those very politicians who took an oath on the Bible to uphold it. Learn how the Constitution is the solution to our country's problems. What do we need to do to restore our inalienable and enumerated rights? Class begins now.
Welcome to episode 24 of the Constitution Solution One podcast under God with Suzette Lawrence up in Sedona, and I'm Mark DeLuzio in Scottsdale. We have a very special guest and a very dear friend of mine, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who's sitting in his office in Fountain Hills. And let me just do a little bit of intro to you, Sheriff, first. Starting with your family, you have two children and four grandchildren. And you're a Boston Red Sox fan, which makes you even a better friend of mine. And unfortunately, Ava, you lost a couple of years ago. Love of your life. How many years were you guys married, Sheriff Joe?
63.
63 years. Oh, my God.
Years ago.
She seemed like a lovely lady, and I read all about her in your books. One of the things I think people need to know about Sheriff Joe, amongst many things, is his mom had a choice when Sheriff Joe was born. Either she loses her life or Sheriff Joe loses his. And she opted to take her life for the life of Sheriff Joe. And it's a pretty amazing story. You can read about that in his book, which, by the way, I'm holding up right here if you're watching on YouTube. One of many of Sheriff Joe's books. Okay. That's a heck of a story. And most people know Sheriff Joe with his 24-year run at Maricopa County Sheriff in Maricopa County, Arizona. And he earned the name America's Toughest Sheriff. And he did all, and he'll maybe tell us a little bit more about that. But before he became Maricopa Sheriff, there's a lot of things people don't know. First of all, at the age of 18, he joined the U.S. Army. And he was a sergeant in the U.S. Army and then a warrant officer in the U.S. Army Reserves. And I think that was probably your first taste of law enforcement. A police officer in Washington, D.C., also in Las Vegas. I think your claim to fame there is you arrested Elvis Presley for speeding, which is kind of cool. You were a special agent with the U.S. Bureau of Narcotics, which I think eventually turned into the DEA. In Chicago, you broke up mafia drug rings. You were undercover in Turkey in the Middle East and broke up a bunch of international drug cartels and was part of really driving the real breakdown of what we then call the French Connection, what they made that famous movie. Sheriff Joe was behind the scenes on that one. San Antonio, Texas, Board of Drug Enforcement, Washington, D.C., Regional Director of the U.S. Bureau of Narcotics in Baltimore, Mexico City, and you also covered Central and South America, Boston. You were a special agent for the USDEA for Arizona. Then, of course, you became sheriff of Maricopa County. And you are now a candidate for mayor of Fountain Hills, Arizona. And we fully support you there. And one other thing I think you guys probably need to know, and you probably already know, in 2017, the first pardon that Sheriff Joe, that President Trump offered was pardoning Sheriff Joe for a bogus misdemeanor when the Obama liberal judge came after him. Sheriff Joe, as you know, was behind the whole birth certificate controversy with Obama. And maybe Sheriff Joe will talk a little bit about that today. But that was totally bogus, and it was a misdemeanor. So many people told me on the campaign trail, which you endorsed me for Congress, Sheriff Joe, that, oh, it was a felony. It was a felony. No, it wasn't a felony. It was a misdemeanor, like a parking ticket. So I always said that you can really tell the character of somebody by the enemies he keeps. And I would have to say, based on that, Sheriff Joe is of extremely high character. I'm honored to call you my friend and a mentor. And Sheriff Joe, I'm going to turn it over to you. What's on your mind today? What do you want to talk about?
Well, same, excuse me, same goes for me and your lovely assistant up in Sedona. And people like you to tell the truth and use your podcast to get the real story out. It's mm-hmm. not just you. It's many others that will do that because you can't believe sometimes what you see in the media. So you, in a sense, and all others like you are heroes trying to get that message truthfully and don't care what the repercussions are.
Right.
So thank you for that.
No, thank you. You set the pace for that. So, yeah, you set the pace for putting yourself out there, and I think, you know, I keep hearing from a lot of different sheriffs, one that happens to be running for Senate, that I don't really have a lot of ability to do anything about these illegals coming into our state of Arizona. You know, us in Texas are the hotspots. And you seem to have a different opinion about what a sheriff can and can't do when it comes to illegal immigration.
I made a mistake when I ran for sheriff, 1992. And remember, I was a bureaucrat, federal, army, I can go on and on. Had that mm-hmm. in my mind. So I said the sheriff should be appointed and not elected. I must have been drunk on Italian wine when I said that. Because if I was appointed, I would have been fired my first month in office. There'll be no on the words, chain gangs, cracking down on corrupt officials, and doing what I did for 24 years. Always elect one law enforcement person, and that has to be the sheriff. If you don't like him, vote him out of office. So a lot of people want to appoint so they can be controlled by the bureaucrats. I always said, I don't ask for endorsements. My endorsements come from the people, and my secret weapon has always been, I go to the people. That's how I get elected.
You lost, you ran for Senate at one point.
Well, I ran for Senate knowing it would be tough.
Right.
I ran against McSally and Ward, but I wanted a platform. And remember, when I do things, sometimes it's not just for me and the people, because I supported Donald Trump from day one, July 2015, his first rally. Nobody would take the stage and introduce him. I did. I never even knew him except for his hotel. And then I looked him in the eye and I said, you will be our next president. I guess I was.
Sheriff Joe, you know, you and I have been friends now for a couple of years, and I've been with you on the campaign trail. You and I have attended a number of Trump rallies. And, you know, when the press came after you and demonized you, essentially, and I had people say, well, you know, Sheriff Joe was a felon and all that. President Trump pardoned you for a misdemeanor. That's all it was, a court appearance by some liberal Obama judge. And it all stemmed from the work you did over the birth certificate. Now, I just want to, before I get into that, want to talk about how people have come up to you when I was with you and thanked you for rehabilitating their sons or themselves, saying, hey, look, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be on the straight and narrow. You really helped me, because your prison system actually did good. It was not just punishment, which it should be, but it was also rehabilitating. You made sure people had to work for their rations. They were rewarded when under good behavior, and they weren't rewarded when it was bad behavior. But you taught them life lessons, And I was a witness one time, for example, when a father came up to me and said, came up to you and said, Sheriff Joe, I want to thank you for rehabilitating my son. If it wasn't for you, I don't know where he'd be. And he was married. The guy was standing right there with us. And I saw that a number of times of the effect you had. And also the people that would just come up to you at dinner when you and I are at dinner or at lunch, and how they love you in Arizona. And the press really distorted that. And by the way, I was in Connecticut back in December, and I mentioned your name to a bunch of conservative women. And they all started clapping. And that's when, if you remember, I got you on the phone, and I held you up to the microphone, and you were taking questions from people all the way over in Connecticut. So you're well-loved. The press really distorted you, but it all had to do, I think, with this birth certificate and how you exposed Obama with a false birth certificate. So maybe you want to say a few words about that.
Well, first of all, I've had 2.2 million people come through my jails. You know, the prisons are run by
right.
The and 500,000 through the tents that I put up. I made a promise when I ran, and I fulfilled that promise within 6 months. I had Korean War tents purposely, and I built Tent City. So it makes me feel good to this day. I get people to come in, I hire, they give me a funny quizzical look, and I say, oh, were you in the tents? Oh yeah, thank you. Inmates that want pictures with me, even when I was in there, I used to put female chain gang out. Nobody in the history has ever hooked women together on a chain gang. Still the only one. You know, I'm an equal opportunity guy. I don't just so I put the chain gang, female. They all thank me. They all thank me. Parents thank me. It makes me feel good. Inmates, and I hire for my personal business, inmates, former inmates. I slept in the tents myself twice voluntarily. And just to show if I can do it, they can do it. So I had some big programs, but I always had rehabilitation, the best in the nation, drug rehabilitation, had a lot of good programs going, animal abuse, I can go on and on. So I'm very happy, feel comfortable. And when you bring up the birth certificate, I have something to say about that. Now, I locked up a lot of illegal, believe me, in workplaces and so on. The only sheriff really that did that. Now, I feel sorry in a way because a lot of them came here to work, to get a job. You're not supposed to violate the law. They have false documents, Social Security, driver's license. And you arrest them, we had to dump them back where they came from. Representation by attorneys, very little. Now we got a guy that used to be president with a fake document.
Yep.
There's no, this criminal justice system revolves about money, who you are. So sometimes it doesn't work, this system. So here I am, accused of and proud of it, locking up hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants, and yet they get not railroaded, they, you know, it's legal to arrest these people, but they don't have the lawyers, Mark, and all that. And I go back to that president that had a fake document, and he gets away with it. Not fair. Fair. So I look at this picture, and by the way, when I worked on that birth certificate, I didn't use taxpayers' money. I used my volunteer posse. I had 3,000 volunteers.
Wow.
And I had a full case posse, so they couldn't get me on money at all or personnel. So I did it almost no cost to the government to prove that guy is here with a first, you know, if they, I'm not going to say here illegally in the sense that he wasn't born here or he was. I'm talking about a fake document and the people behind it. And I had an informer that's very controversial, trying to find out who did that. Was it the CIA? Was it the FBI? Someone was behind that fake document. And
yep.
When the president personal attorney goes to Hawaii, and that attorney also went after me, that law firm, also delivered the money to Steele, if you remember the Steele case. So that law firm joined forces with my enemies, George Soros, to get me out of office. Now, everybody says they did it for illegal immigration. I have a different theory why they drove me out. I think it was the birth certificate. Once they figured, I'm gone, no gun and badge, it's going away. So that's my take. When I lost the election, 2000, it was 1960. I started that thing, I think, in 2011, the birth certificate. When I lost in 2016, everybody said it was the illegal immigration. That was the time I was working on the birth certificate. So that's okay. That's okay. I had a biased judge whose wife even went out public bragging that her husband is a federal judge and he's going to do everything in his power to get me defeated. And then his brother's a member of a large law firm. And guess what? The ACLU, who sued me, hired that law firm. So you want to talk about conflicts of interest, which is sure. going on with Trump right now. I was a precursor to Trump on all the stuff that's going on. It's sickening, but one day justice will prevail and the truth will come out.
You know, I look at this and I hear the people that are anti-Trump, right? And they're really happy what's going on with Trump. And if they were anti-Sheriff Joe or pro-Obama, they were happy with what on with you. And what these people don't realize is that this is a destruction of our legal, a framework of our legal system. And sooner or later, it's going to come back and bite them. Even if it's your enemy, you've got to promote justice. Without the rule of law, we have no land, we have no country. And the founding fathers were very clear about that. Now we don't have a rule of law. So it's a real problem. Now, when the sheriffs in Maricopa or any other place in Arizona, I think I told you I heard them say that I can't really arrest any illegals here. And they used the federal government as an excuse. I wonder why that is. Why would they say that when you know darn well that you've done it yourself? You've arrested so many thousands of illegals, and they're sitting there saying my hands are tied.
Well, maybe they're concerned about the Mickey Mouse charge of misdemeanor when I pursued that issue. And also, maybe they don't want to be sued. Maybe they're like everybody else. They don't want to enforce the law. Maybe they never did want to enforce the illegal immigration law.
Yeah.
The reason I did, not because, I'll tell you why, we had two state laws still in effect, human smuggling laws still in effect on the state legislation passed. That's still there. I used to enforce that law. Then I sent deputies to be trained by ICE to be able to lock up illegal immigrants. I had the authority to do it. That never came out in court. Nobody wanted to talk about that. When I signed an agreement with the head of ICE to put immigration officers in the jail system, then I went one step further. I want to be able to enforce the laws on the streets. And my deputies were trained. We had those laws, and also I had the state laws. So I enforced those laws. Now, why nobody else is doing it? Good question. Maybe they don't like enforcing illegal immigration. They'd rather concentrate on other crimes, not realizing a lot of illegal immigrants commit violent crimes.
Right.
Well, right. I did.
We have a whole South American crime ring right now floating around my neighborhood here in Scottsdale. I just put up six security cameras, actually eight, two inside, six outside, and floodlights and everything else, because of the break-ins around here. And there's all kinds of crime going around. And I live in a pretty nice neighborhood. And so you can't hide from these illegals coming in and committing all this crime. As a matter of fact, right behind me, Sheriff Joe, we had a kidnapping. Okay. They took the guy to his ATM just a street over. I could see his house from my backyard. And as they're driving down Pima Road, they were discussing where they were going to dump his body after they killed him. And so they were speeding, and the speed trap got him and took a picture. And that saved the guy's life. Okay. That happened literally right behind me. I can look outside my back window and see the guy's house. So that's the kind of stuff that's going on here. And crime is unbelievably out of control. You know, maybe instead of running for Fountain Hills mayor, you should have ran back again for Maricopa sheriff. We'd have loved to see you in that seat.
I did do 24 years, longest in the history of Maricopa.
Yeah, come on. We do another couple of years. Come on. We can get you there.
Yeah. Right next door is Fountain Hills, Arizona. A line, not a wall. Maybe we should put a wall. So the dudes pop over and do it here. Now, I have 24 years I served this town as a sheriff, and plus 5 more as head of the DEA. So I got 30 years in this town, plus right. I own a business. I can go on and on. But I am running for mayor again to do something, get something back. And I got some opponents out there and politicians that do not want me to be mayor. I wonder why that is. Is it because I have a reputation of going after corruption all over the universe? I don't say that's true, but there's something going on. So I'm going to win this thing. I'm going to do what I can for this town. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears my wife and I put in Pound Hills. I don't need this job. So that's the way I feel about that race. Now, getting back to Trump, I said before, I'll say it again. He's the only hero I ever had in my life. And I stick with that. I know what he's going through right now with this hooker situation, which is sad. Statute of limitations should have been gone a long time ago. Then you go after someone because of some relationship. It's sickening, sickening. And everybody's covering that story. So you can see how they're going after Trump, all these people. And the enemy sometimes is within. Unfortunately,
you bet.
Big job. You were a CEO. If you're a CEO of a company or government, you have to rely on somebody. You can't do it all yourself. You have to pick people. Unfortunately, some of the people he picked are traitors. Traitors, what they're doing against Trump. I say that because we're going to involve the national security and all that other stuff. So that's sad. Very sad. They're ganging up on him. I'll tell you one thing. He's going to survive. He will survive. I just hope he keeps that ego going. Without that ego, he probably would have said, I'm going to give this up. I don't need this guy. Just like I am a fighter. I don't surrender. He doesn't surrender. He's going to survive.
Well, Sheriff Joe, you've been involved in all kinds of battles. I mean, literal battles with the drug cartel. And so it's, and again, I look at Maricopa, but I also look at your previous history before Maricopa and how you fought for our country, not only in the military, but you fought as an agent to keep drugs out of the hands of kids here when you were in Turkey, in the Middle East, in Mexico, and broke up mafia drug rings. So you've been at the front lines for this country. And I said this at your birthday party a couple of years ago. And I'm going to read exactly what I wrote, because this is the speech I gave. In addition for me to be honored to call you my friend and my mentor and my hero, but more importantly, you're my friend, but if all Americans only did 1/100th of what Sheriff Joe has done for our country, this country would be in a much better place. You know, and I don't think people realize the sacrifice you made. Also, Ava, your wife, unbelievable sacrifice. And she was at risk many, many, many times. And God bless her. I never had to got to meet her, but I understand she was a lovely woman. And, you know, I guess when you look at this, even with the military, when you serve, your family serves. And so, you know, my hat's off with all the respect. And you are a fighter, just like President Trump. And maybe he learned that from you. Who knows? But, you know, I look at what's going on here. And by the way, just to let people know, the town of Fountain Hills, where Sheriff Joe's running for mayor, is in Maricopa County. Okay, so when Sheriff Joe says he served Maricopa County in all these different capacities, besides the sheriff, that's what he's talking about. Fountain Hills is in. And by the way, his campaign, whether you live in Fountain Hills or not, I recommend, we need more people like Sheriff Joe in any kind of office. And I'd reach out to our listeners to say, hey, look, contribute whatever you can to his campaign. It's at www.arpaio.vote, ARPAIO.VOTE. And we'll give that out at the end of the show, too. But support him. He needs the help. I've given him every dollar I could possibly give legally. So we would hope that you would help maybe pay back what he's done for us. Okay, because, yep.
Let me say about you, the Gold Star father, your son was killed in battle. And I think you had another son that was in the army, I believe, at the same time.
At the same time. Yep, same time.
President Trump invited you to Washington to honor your son. You were a picture with the president's wife. So you gave a lot yourself, sacrificed a lot in your family. So I want to thank you for that. People don't understand that.
Well, I appreciate that.
And all that. Yeah, I was lucky around the world. Somebody's looking out for me upstairs. Believe me, I've been through a lot, but I survived. And I want to thank you again for what you've done, your family, for this country. I know you're kind of bashful in a way, so I'm interviewing you now.
Okay, that's fine. You're allowed, by the way. And hey, by the way, just to let you know, since you brought that up, Stephen, my son Stephen was killed in 2010, and Obama at that time was president, the Obama-Biden guys, and we did not get a phone call at all, okay? We got a form letter where we compared his signature to other Gold Star families, and the signature was a computer-generated signature. So maybe you can argue that was fake too, okay? And that was it, nothing, right? Well, in 2019, we get a call from the White House. I actually thought it was a prank call. And it said the president and the first lady would like to have you and your family be honored at the White House at a ceremony. And we went to this ceremony, Sheriff Joe, in 2019, and it was unbelievable. We met the president. He stayed with us for 3 hours. The most important guy in the world stayed with us for 3 hours. He also had other Gold Star families there from around the country. He put on a show that you wouldn't believe. The dinner we had the night before, we got a tour of the West Wing, saw the Oval Office and all that. He had the chief of staff, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and all the top brass from all the military branches there. Vice President Pence was there. And he and Melania stayed with us for 3 hours. Now, the interesting thing about this is he did this every year when he was president. And he never publicized it. It never got out in the press. They probably wouldn't cover it anyway, but he didn't pat himself on the back, look what I'm doing. Right. He did this every year. And I will tell you right now, there's no question in my mind, he loves the military and he loves our country and he loves Americans. There's no question in my mind. And, you know, when General Kelly came out and criticized him for being against Gold Star parents, and I know General Kelly is a Gold Star father himself, he talked about the Gold Star Muslim that President Trump had a beef with, and also the John McCain thing, okay, when he made those comments about John McCain. Well, the interesting thing is those two incidents happened before General Kelly took the job as chief of staff for President Trump. I looked it up. You may be an investigator, Sheriff Joe. And I looked it up and I said, well, if this guy, if President Trump was such an awful person, how could General Kelly take this job? Okay. These two things happened before, and that's what he ended up criticizing the one for after General Kelly got fired by Trump. So he's a hypocrite. Okay. There's no question in my mind. And by the way, as you know, I deal with a lot of veterans. And I helped them get jobs. I have a whole organization that I work with to do that, that I started. And the veterans I deal with love President Trump. And they love you too, Sheriff Joe. When I tell them I know you, they nothing but good things. So, you know, I'm with you on President Trump. So,
I open many rallies with him. I know him pretty well. We follow the same highway. Sometimes without even talking to each other. But I know for a fact he loves the veterans.
Yeah.
Loves the cops. He doesn't do it for political reasons or so.
Right. Right.
For you, my wife came down with cancer. And I think I mentioned she used to watch Fox at the beginning. I told Trump, she watches Fox because of you. He picked up the phone, my phone, called her, and has called my wife 7 times. Never met my wife. Now he talks about my wife. And he pardoned me, which I never asked for. It was a little Mickey Mouse misdemeanor. He wouldn't give me a jury. I had to hear it over the radio. I've never been photographed. I never been fingerprinted. What kind of a trial did I go through? He calls my wife, and sees how she's doing. And that was doing the trial also, the Mickey Mouse trial, when they went after me, and they're going after him right now. They can't get him on anything else. They have to go back to Hooker days. Come on.
That lady has openly said that didn't happen. That Stormy Daniels woman on her social media recently said she never had anything to do with Trump. Believe it or not.
Well, let me put it this way. Now, I know what he did for my wife. When she was going through the cancer and all that. Maybe he just likes to help women sometimes. He sure tried to help mine by calling her 7 times and see how she's doing. Maybe he wants to, I don't know. Maybe he wants to do favors for women. He wants to help women. Who knows? But I know what he did for my wife. No doubt about that. I know how he feels about women. So it makes it a little angry, the media and these politicians, and even some of his former employees.
Yeah.
Think about this, Sheriff Joe, that we have in one of the investigations, the Robert Mueller investigation, we have special counsel. He had over 100 lawyers and investigators working for him. They spent, I think, $45 million trying to find a problem with President Trump or anyone in his family. And they came up with zero. So
yeah, well, when you have the person, then you say, let's look for the crime. That's totally ass backwards in terms of how they're supposed to work.
So we have weaponized the judiciary.
Right. Right.
They've weaponized the dollar now, with threatening Russia to steal. This is off off topic a little bit, but just to say, you know, when you have an out of control government, they're weaponizing the dollar so that they're threatening to steal over $300 billion from Russian privately held assets in American bank accounts that are frozen. They're threatening to give that, trying to find a workaround legally to give that money to Ukraine. And so, so people from around the world where the dollar was a safe haven are now pulling their money out of.
I think President Trump, though, was a lightning rod, just like Sheriff Joe was, in that, you know, he took a lot of money out of their piggy bank from the military industrial complex and didn't start a war. OK, the first president I can remember that didn't start a war. And I happen to know, I'll tell you who I talked to. I talked to Mark Meadows, who was his chief of staff, who basically said when Trump sat down with the head of the Taliban, he looked at him across the table and said, if one scratch comes to any American, and he stopped talking and he pulled out of his breast pocket a satellite picture of the Taliban's home with his kids playing outside. And that's all he had to say. Okay, that's what kind of leader he was, right? And is as well. And I will, just an anecdote too, Sheriff Joe, when you talk about his passion and all that, when we met him, it was in the blue room at the White House. He and Melania were standing there waiting for pictures. And we walked in, and my wife walked in first, then me, then my son. And he walked over to my wife and gave her a hug. He didn't wait for her to go to him, okay? And he gave her a big hug, and he looked up, and he pointed to this guy, and he said, Steven's looking down on you right now, you know? The guy, and it made my wife feel so at ease because she was nervous. I wasn't nervous at all, but she was nervous. I was excited. I couldn't wait to meet him, you know? And, but, you know, we need more heroes like you, Sheriff Joe, so... Can we clone you somehow? How can we do that?
No one's going to be like me. Good or
That's true.
We're going to be another Trump. So that's where it all bounces. But the man does have a heart, and I'm a little sad that they have to resort to this old case with some lawyer that turned on him.
Yeah.
And Cohen. He's a star witness on this Hooker case. He went to jail too over that.
That's right, he did.
That guy, I wouldn't believe anything he said. So let's see what the courts do. Let's see what the jury says. And you got all these judges ganging up on him. By the way, if you want to believe what I went through with judges, the federal judge that went after me, I'm on trial. He calls me up from the defense table and he says, do you like me? I said, I like all federal judges. He was accusing me of investigating his wife, the one that went public. And said, so he says, okay, are you investigating my wife? He says, I'm not investigating your wife. I investigated the witnesses that heard your wife say, you, judge, are going to do everything you can to make sure I'm not reelected. And by the way, he went public the day before election to go after me. So I told him that. Can you believe a judge bringing me up there, and my lawyers didn't even object. And asked me if I'm investigating his wife. It shows you, and he was a Republican. You said Obama. He was a Republican judge. He's still there. 15 years he's been running my office. He's also found the last sheriff in contempt. 15 years with his 9 monitors costing millions of dollars. And just to say it very simple, my guys arrested a guy in Cave Creek, Arizona, thought he was here illegally. They brought him down to the jail. They proved that he proved he had the papers. And then he sues me, and that federal judge made a class action and went after me over one guy that we looked at, and that's where we are today. They're trying to take over the Phoenix police too, the feds are. So it's a strange story, and sometimes things are not fair. You know that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Sheriff Joe, how does the Constitution play into this? Because don't sheriffs have a special relationship with the Constitution? I mean, we have this separation of powers. And I'm having trouble like really accepting that that's been essentially ignored, erased, not erased, it's still the law. But it's why is that not coming up more?
Well, simply not just sheriffs, elected officials and others take an oath of office, defend the council, all that. Right. Sheriffs, the difference with the sheriffs, they are elected. So sometimes they don't have to worry about reporting to a mayor, a governor, or even a president sometimes. But mm-hmm. I don't know about it, going after a president. The sheriff is a constitutional officer, top law enforcement officer, usually for a county. And he can do what he wants and let the, within the law and the Constitution, and let the people decide whether they want to rehire the guy or gal. That's very simple. Police chiefs have to report to the mayor.
Right.
And that becomes a bureaucratic nightmare, afraid to do anything because you always have to report to somebody else. The sheriff does not report to anybody but the people. I didn't report to the president. I report to the people. That's why you have to have an elected sheriff, period.
Well, I would have to say that if you were the Maricopa County Sheriff for 24 years, you definitely were doing something right.
Well, yeah, you're right, because the people decided.
Right.
Bureaucracy, I was the top, every time a president takes office, they have the first 100 days. Wow, I'm very proud. He's in 2009, when Obama and Biden took office, I was a target for the first 100 days. Me,
yep.
For sure. Think of that. Made me a target, and they went after me. But I survived. I survived to 2016. Then they got me because nobody, actually you, Mark, I don't want to insult you, but you could have been the sheriff. In fact, a nice lady could have been the sheriff. Anybody could have been the sheriff in 2016, except me. They got me, but I haven't been quiet. I'm out there doing a lot of things. And friends like you, the support you gave me, I really appreciate it because I try to do the best I could when you ran for Congress. You should have gotten elected. But at the last minute, the president got a call, I'm sure, to appoint endorse your opponent. And I don't blame the president because usually he has to take the word from someone that's in the government, usually a senator or congressman, to make that decision. He can't interview everybody. He has to take the word. So you got screwed up at the last minute.
Yep.
And it's not fair. You worked hard. I saw you. You're a great guy, great family guy, a business guy, loyal. And you still are. You haven't given it up yet. You don't have to do what you're doing.
Nope. Nope. No. And, I made sure that after I lost my election, I didn't let that get in the way of my relationship with you. I wanted to make sure that we can remain friends, and whatever I could do to support you, I owe you a lot. And you've done fundraisers for me and everything else. And, when you look at the whole cycle here, and when you say that Obama came after you, let's not forget now, and this constitutional podcast is about educating educating people on the Constitution because they don't know it. They don't teach it well in schools, if at all. And the president is in charge of the executive branch. And the number one job the executive branch has to do is to enforce our laws. So now let's think about the irony of the president coming after a law enforcement person like yourself. Think about that. His job is to enforce the law. The guy that probably did it better than anybody ever is Sheriff Joe Arpaio, and he came after you in his own, in one sense, in his own branch, if you will, if you think about the three branches of government. He came after you, and he weaponized the Department of Justice to do that. And so how does that fare with the American people if they don't see it that way? And they probably don't, because they got, you know, they've got convoluted by the corrupt press. The president comes after his own people. You were his own people in some sense, because you're a law enforcement guy. You're in law enforcement, and that's what his job is to enforce the law. I don't know. It's just mind-boggling to me. It really is.
Well, it isn't to me. I was a target.
Yeah.
Made my bed. I sleep in it. Media today, the Washington Post, New York Times, recently, and said, "Will you apologize? Are you sorry?" You know what I told them? "I'll do it over again."
That's what I
told all the media. "I'll do it again." Period. And that's the way it should be. I got a guy from Mexico. This is very sad. And you know me, I get a lot of threats around the world from cartels and all of this. So here's a guy.
Yep.
Here's a guy named Ibarra. He's speaking before the Mexican Senate. He's the equivalent to the Secretary of State. Okay. And he says out of the blue, "Joe Arpaio, Maricopa County, Arizona, is a murderer. He kills people and he smuggles guns into Mexico." And I said, because 15 Hispanic stations picked up that story, not the U.S. They didn't want to print it for some reason. They try to make me irrelevant anyway. The only time I'll make the headlines when I get shot. So maybe they'll put me on the obituary page. So the thing is, nobody would do anything. All I wanted was an apology, and I would drop it. Then my lawyer and I, Larry Klayman, sued him down in Florida. We're trying to serve him, to grab him in Mexico, because when he met with Sullivan, 1 week after he said this, he flew to Washington, met with the National Security Advisor, Sullivan, and they talked about drones. Now, I know how it works in Mexico. I was ahead of it. DEA there, I know how ambassadors work. The minute my name would be mentioned, DC would know about it. So if you think that in that kind of conversation with Sullivan, my name was brought up, of course it was brought up. And then the guy resigns his position and runs for president. All I wanted was an apology. And to this day, I talked to my lawyer. If you settle this case, and he apologizes, never going to happen. Never going to happen, because I want to meet with him face to face. Then I'll say, okay, and that means I have to go to Mexico. I'll go to Mexico to meet with him. But he has to apologize to my face. It is no deal. I told my lawyer that. Now, if I have to fly to Mexico, I'll go. Maybe you can go with me. You have overseas experience.
I'll go with you, and I'll foot the airline bill. Don't worry about that.
That's quiet.
Don't worry about that. You know, how about a couple words about this whole Eric Holder gun running thing that he did?
Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious. Yeah. What's your take on that?
Well, sad. A border patrolman got killed over that. And they were smuggling. And the government was involved big time. okay, you know, trying to find people in Mexico, but you don't bring your guns in there and let it ride. And those guns are distributed and killing people. That's the irony. The other irony, when he accused me, this guy, recently, that I smuggled 2,000 guns into Mexico. I think Fast and Furious, when they had their investigation, was about the same number of guns. Come on. I had nothing to do with Fast.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, he was like transposing that crime onto you, the crime of Eric Holder's Justice Department and the Obama administration onto you. Like, we all have amnesia.
So, of course, playing their games against me, I'm like a piece of meat. I don't know if I'm a hamburger or filet mignon, because these politicians all want my endorsement. I never asked for endorsement. But you know what, with some of these politicians, I'm talking about Republican, they have no loyalty or character. They'll sell their soul for a vote. And that's unfortunate what's going on today in this country. And I know by personal experience, that's sad. Our own party can't stick together. Think of that. I'm talking about the Republican Party. Now, I saw yesterday to the whole world, because when Kennedy, not Jack Kennedy, Robert Kennedy Jr.'s father, who was an attorney general, the Kennedy family asked me, and I was head of the federal drug enforcement for the Washington region. And just prior to that, two dope peddlers took me out in the woods and we had a big gun battle. And then 3 weeks later, I get a call from the Kennedy family. Will you open the doors for the family and escort them to the grave site? I said, of course I would do it. Off duty, of course. I didn't want to use my federal position. And I did. I did. And I talked about JFK Jr., father, the attorney general, who I'm Italian, you're Italian, and the Italian organization went to the attorney general, Robert, and said, we're tired of this. So he put an order out. You will not use the word mafia anymore. It's organized crime. He put that out. That was Bobby Kennedy. So I respected him for that. But, you know, in my press release at the end, because the Kennedy now running for office as an independent, also have a meeting here this week. But I did say, I'm not endorsing him for president. I'm endorsing Donald Trump, who always will be my hero for life. But that was the same a quirk of fate. Here's the independent Kennedy running, and I'm sure he was in the vehicles that I helped open and bring to the gravesite. So you talk about fate and what happens, it happened. So sometimes you have to do something and it catches up with you. Of course, this press release on the bottom naturally said, I'm not endorsing him. I'm endorsing Trump. I will never go against Trump or elections or anything else. Unfortunately, a lot of politicians want his endorsement because he's high up there in the polls. The minute he goes down, they won't even know his name anymore.
Yep. So
I want to hear, maybe you will know, I want to hear one politician that said, Donald Trump is my hero. I want you to tell me any politician that said hero. Even if they said hero, which they'll probably copy now when they hear your story. Okay. Would they ever say he's the only hero I ever had in my life? That's a big difference. You know, a lot of people use the word hero. Nothing against it. Nothing against it. But when you go further, say the only one, that's a big statement. So I'm a little sad with some of our Republican politicians out there. And I'm not saying telling anything you don't know. They're all fighting each other. Some of them are turning against Trump, or they're using Trump. You know they're
right.
using.
Right.
Come on. If he wasn't winning, they would not even know his name. And that's sad. So they lack loyalty, number one, and character. Character. Remember that word, character.
Yep. Yep.
So
Sheriff Joe. Oh, go ahead, Suzette.
I was just going to comment that in Washington now, it would appear that we have Americans and we have a war party. There's no Democrat, Republican, Independents, Libertarians. It's either
the big blend.
Americans,
yeah,
the American Party, or the war party.
Yeah.
And I was sickened over the weekend when I watched the House flip, you know, waving their Ukrainian flags and chanting Ukraine, Ukraine, when they got that bill passed. I mean,
many people didn't know where Ukraine was 2 years ago, but
they probably, you know, still don't.
Yeah.
But I think they were handsomely rewarded for their votes, jubilation. And understanding, do they really understand that more people will die and that Ukraine lost this war a year ago, this thing has been lost, and they're still dragging it on.
They're useful idiots. But by the way, when President Trump endorsed my opponent, I still backed President Trump, and people said to me, Mark, how could you back President Trump? He didn't endorse you. Hey. So I'm sorry, like you, Sheriff Joe, I'm a loyal guy, and I wasn't going about to let that get in the way. I was thinking about the country. I wasn't thinking about me, okay. And so, was I disappointed? Sure, you know. I think if I had been able to get to President Trump and I had some good tentacles in, but the powers that be in the state party at the time, which is very corrupt. Didn't let it happen. And so that was just the way it goes. But I wasn't about to back my support of President Trump down because of that. This country is a lot bigger than any one person, and definitely bigger than me. So I knew he was the right guy for our country. And now I think it's clear how clear that is, that he is the right guy for our country after this bozo got into office. And so that's just how I looked at it.
So when he visits Putin, Trump, I love it when he visits Putin. They all criticize. You know what he does? He goes in the back door. He goes in a private room with him. Now, he doesn't smoke or drink beer. Trump does. But he was just lighting up a cigar. They'll both be lighting up cigars, and they will come to a deal behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
Think of that.
Yep.
That's how things done.
You
deal. And he's a great dealer. All this crap would not be happening. Now, when I ran Operation Intercept with G. Gordon Liddy under Nixon, they promoted me to be director in Mexico, and they hated us. You know what? I had the Attorney General of Mexico finally come to my house. And my wife's a great cook, and cooked baked blueberry pie, and I threw in American whiskey. I got more done, this is honest, with blueberry pie and whiskey than a big stick. They never screw with any of my cases. They screw with other people's cases, but not mine. So sometimes you can go in a back room and negotiate, you get things done. And Trump is very good at negotiating. So every time he sees Putin, that's great. None of this would have happened. He would have gone in a room with Putin, made the deal, and that's the end of it.
It's diplomacy, Sheriff Joe. You know, you showed him diplomacy. First of all, you invited him to your home. You know, your wife made a meal. It was like that. It's the art of the deal. And, you know, somebody wrote a book about that, right? And
I've read
the
it.
and but the, a lot of it is diplomacy, and that is a lost art. Now it's all like so nasty, so ineffective. It's just, you know, dropping more bombs for what?
But
I mean,
know,
this
but
is
you know,
what our country.
I think this corruption's been around. I mean, you go back to Kennedy days and Lyndon Johnson, and you know, there's a good argument now that says that Johnson had Kennedy killed. And the CIA was upset with him because of the Bay of Pigs, and perhaps the mob, who knows? But yeah, so you know,
Ron Paul's new book.
Oh, okay, I'll have to get that. And anyway, you know, I think our country we just have to keep fighting. And you know, I think Sheriff Joe, you're an inspiration to the people right now who say, "Oh, all is lost," right? I don't think it's lost. I think the American people take a little while to wake up once in a while, but they sooner or later will guess the right answer and look into somebody like you as a leader in terms of resilience and not ever giving up. That's to me is the most important part of this. So,
well, Mark, you probably don't realize I was the honorary chairman for Bush, Mitt Romney, Rick Perry, and I travel with them across the nation. I don't throw Trump in there because I don't compare Trump with those three.
Right,
so
right.
So I paid my dues. I used to go fight and quit and come back and lock people up. I wasn't out campaigning all the time. Believe me, I was leading my organization, and I take the heat when something goes wrong. I don't blame my supporters. I never have. I've always taken the heat for them. So, and by the way, I don't have all these degrees, Mark. I got two things going for me. You can't argue. Life experience, you know, I have that. My birthday's coming up. And then I think I have something else called common sense. That's how I operated through my life. And I've been around right place at the right time. Or right excitement at the right time. So I've been fortunate to meet all these high-powered people, get to know them, just trying to do my job. So my birthday's coming up. Last birthday, I got a horse named after me, Sheriff Joe. And you know who the grandfather was? Secretariat.
Wow.
You see the horse, Sheriff Joe will be roaming around. Now he's run three races. He'll make it. Beautiful horse. So they named a fellow from Connecticut.
Yeah, is that amazing?
Yeah. I love Connecticut. In fact, I was born and raised in Springfield, Mass. Connecticut was a suburb of Massachusetts.
Yeah. I was born, yeah, well, you know, when we first met, I told him, I told Sheriff Joseph that I was born in New Britain, Connecticut, which is basically, what, 30, 40 minutes from Springfield, and both industrial cities. Hardware city of the world was New Britain. Springfield had a big gun industry, right? And both industrial cities, very similar cities in that regard, you know? And so that's kind of where we kind of came from, you know? We came from a different cities, but pretty much a very similar culture, you know, in terms of how those cities were organized and all that, you know. By the way, you talked about college degrees. The degrees I have on behind my office here on the wall there back there, I would say that those degrees accounted for no more than 10% of what I know. Because you're absolutely right. It's all life experience. It's all life experience. It's school of hard knocks. And the lessons you don't learn in school, like I learned on the streets, are so very important. And that's where I think Trump, too, and you both learned the common sense, but also the life of hard knocks, where you can't learn those things in school. What you know and what you've done and what you learned, you can't learn in school.
Well, I don't like the word experience. Everybody uses, oh, I have great experience, which could be bad too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know what I have? I'm a man of wisdom. I use the word wisdom, not experience. And that's how I feel. And maybe that applies to my age. I got guys out there trying to take me down. He's old. I can go on and on. Someone upstairs looking out for me because I've never been in a hospital overnight. And I'm 91 years old. Now, I was one time I fell and the deputy took me to Mayo Clinic or St. Joe's to do an x-ray. So the nurses were so excited. Wow, we got to serve here. So they stuck me on a bed overnight and I had to eat the garbage food. My food inmates was better than the hospital.
Sure, Joe. Any last words of wisdom, speaking of wisdom, because I think this has been a great interview. Maybe we'll do another one down the line. I know there's a lot of things you want to talk about with your campaign and all that, and we can definitely do another one if you'd like on that one. Sheriff Joe has several books out. This one, I think, is your latest one. An American Legend. It's got the foreword by Ted Nugent. Wrote the foreword. And by the way, Ted Nugent's going to be interviewed by Suzette and me on Thursday of this week. We are going to, in two more days, we're going to be interviewing Ted Nugent. And I'm going to see if I can't get him to come to your birthday party. And by the way, you asked me to be the MC for your birthday party, and I really do appreciate that. So, and you'll get to meet Suzette in person on that birthday party. So, but thank you for that. Any last words of wisdom?
Well, first of all, thanks for your service and your family. And number two, I don't know what they're going to put on my tombstone, but it's going to be My Way. That's my favorite song. Trump stole that song from me. My wife, 63 years, would never complain on anything, but I can read my wife's mind. I know she'd never like that song. And now the end is near, and I face the final curtain. I sang that song on 60 Minutes in Australia. I don't even know how to sing. That's my favorite song. I did it my way, and that's what I will keep doing, my way.
That's a good lesson. I could play it on the piano with one finger, but I will tell you that when I first met Sheriff Joe and his cell phone rang, it was Frank Sinatra's My Way as the ringtone. So I thought that was pretty cool.
I have a flip phone.
Your flip phone, yes, yes. Maybe that's the real smartphone. I don't know.
It's looking more brilliant every day.
Exactly.
I have a typewriter, Smith Corona, and I have a Smith Wesson from Springfield, Mass. People should start using a typewriter instead of emails. Everybody can get your emails. A typewriter, all you take is the ribbon. I'm not saying to do anything bad.
By the way, can you just move aside to show us your typewriter? It's right behind you. I know it's on your desk. It's right behind you, right?
Corona. Yeah. I have a Smith & Wesson, Springfield, Mass, and I have a Smith Corona. Yeah.
Maybe we should be going to rotary phones. I'm serious.
You know, Sheriff Joe, my first job out of college was at a typewriter company called Royal Business Machines, Royal Typewriter in West Hartford, Connecticut. Yeah. My first job. So back then, think about that.
Well, maybe you and I would go in business or start manufacturing typewriters instead of using emails, because anybody can get your email. I'm not trying to do anything wrong, but with a typewriter, you have a ribbon. It takes you 1 minute to take the ribbon out. But everybody uses emails. That's how stupid people are.
I love it.
I used to have people report to me, my staff, and they'd write an email. I said, "You're right next door. Come to my office." I don't know for an email.
Matter of fact, I used to work, speaking of ribbons, I worked at the Roy typed the vision, which made the ribbons. So I know how ribbons are made, by the way.
That's something you want to go in business, typewriter business.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe my wife, what we should be doing. I'm
you know, my wife,
you,
my wife,
go back to analog.
My wife was able to type 110 words a minute on a manual typewriter. 110 words a minute.
That's
she was amazing. Yeah, she was incredible. But well, Sheriff Joe, look, let's end it here. But I really do appreciate your time today, and we'll be in touch soon about the party. Again, I want to let people know again, arpaio.vote. So www.arpaio.vote. Please donate whatever you can and get this man elected, because not only does Fountain Hills need him, but America needs him. And that's we're going to do all we can to help you get back there. But even if you don't win, which I don't like to think about, I know that you're still going to be fighting for our country, and I'll be right there with you to do it. So,
well, the main thing is to get Trump elected.
Yep.
Key to a lot of things.
Absolutely.
Not talking about personal. So that's the mission right now I should be following.
Okay. Suzette, last word?
Thank you, Sheriff Joe. It's great to meet you today.
I'm a big supporter of women, you know. I've hired many of them, but you have beautiful hair, red hair, because
thank you.
In this town is blonde. Why is everybody blonde out here in Arizona?
Don't know. It's the thing, you know, to be blonde. That's always been the thing. Yep. But thank you for that. I'm a big fan of the Constitution, the law and order, and I have no professional training in it, but I know the truth when I hear it and see it. And like most people, I know when somebody's lying to me. And that about 30 years ago, I kind of woke up from my American dream and realized exactly where I was. And you were one of the people that helped with that. And it's been, you know, it's a slow process. That's why I don't think you can really wake people up. They have to wake up on their own. But why it's so important to keep talking and to stand firm, because you never know who's going to be hearing you, seeing you, listening to you. And in that final moment, you know, and something you say to them is going to pull it together for them.
Impact them. Yeah.
I think that's really, so we appreciate you coming on today so much. I can't wait to come down to Fountain Hill to celebrate your birthday with you and to meet you in person. And Mark, thanks for bringing us all together.
No problem. I'm just a little bit upset with Sheriff Joe right now because he never complimented me on my hair.
Whatever you got, it looks great.
I don't have much, okay? But
yeah, you do. You have good hair.
Well,
Silver
we'll see.
Fox.
Thank God for the collagen. Yep.
I'm sorry, what?
The Italian olive oil.
Oh, yeah. We're all drinking our olive oil every day.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. This was episode 24, Constitution Solution, one podcast under God. Sheriff Joe, thanks a lot. We'll see you soon. And maybe we could do another one down the line if you're up to it, and talk about some other topics. There's a lot of other things we could talk about. So, but we'll go from there.
Tell it like it is. Georgia.
You bet. That's what we do. That's what we do.
Now the rest.
You
right.
Bet.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sheriff Joe.
Thanks for listening to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God, where we hold that strict adherence to the Constitution is the solution to most of our country's problems.
You can find other episodes on our website at 1787solution.com, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most other platforms. We're your hosts, Mark DeLuzio and Suzette Lawrence. Until next time, may God bless you and may God bless America.